Well, Letha, I was trying to find that piece of paper you gave me. It must have been back, left it in the back. Do you remember what it said?
Yeah, from a World War II veteran. Freedom has a taste. To those who fight and almost die, the privilege will never know.
The privilege will never know. Yeah, and then another quote that she's familiar with that Tina was sharing, a friend of ours on Facebook said this morning. He said, only two defining forces have offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul and the other died for your freedom. It's not too bad. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Well, I like that little quote, brother, about the dreams and stuff. I got to get that from you. You can't be hoarding all that good stuff, all that good preaching material. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. I promise you I will not go past 12 today. I've really got tied up in my introduction stuff last week, and I had told myself over and over I'm not going to do that this morning. I want to kind of keep to the expository preaching and teaching out of the Word of God, doing verse by chapter, verse by verse, and just trying to mine the riches out of the Word of God. So in chapter 3 is where we're at. This will be the last time we'll read. Probably will not be the last time we read the first part of chapter 3, but for now, this is, I want to read verses 1 again through, we'll probably go through verse 11 today. And so to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I want to draw your attention back to that last verse in verse 11, this phrase, or this part of the verse where he said, also, he hath set the world in their hearts. The world, the word world is translated eternity. That's something that really stood out to me as I read it. We'll come back to that. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we thank you for your people. Our hearts indeed are heavy this morning for our sister, but Lord, we are rejoicing in that struggle's over for Lydia, and our hearts continue to be heavy for her family, especially for those that may not ever have a reunion with her again. And I pray that they would make their peace with you, Lord Jesus, through the blood of your cross, and Lord, that they'd be saved. Lord, guide us and direct us as we go over your word this morning, these next few minutes, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we left off last week in verse 8, where it says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time to peace. I think a lot of us, or some, you know, we can really identify with that, a time to hate. It just seems like people are mad, You know, I was just trying to go around the corner to see Lydia's family in between services, and they wouldn't even let me on the highway. And then I started to get mad, and I thought, you know what? I'll get there when I get there. Amen. If I don't get back, Chuck can preach. Amen. He's instant in season, out of season, right? Right? But looking back at this verse here, it says, loving and hating, evil abounds in this sin-cursed world, wouldn't you say? And it was interesting in our Sunday school class that I think it was only two of us, me and Brother Cox and Steve, and we came to consensus that this world isn't going to get any better. It's not. You know, I don't know why we, sometimes if you're like me, you're kind of waiting for it to, but it's just not going to get any better. Because evil is abounding. And things that are happening today, crimes that are committed, you know, just principalities and governments and the atrocities and the lying, cheating, stealing, backbiting, it's just a mess. It's not going to get better. And I think for a Christian, and when we see this word hate, we should hate the things that God hates. And when we see the atrocities and the wickedness going on, it ought to bother us. You know what I'm saying? It should rattle us. And I printed out these verses here about that in Proverbs chapter 97, verse 10. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He that preserveth the souls of his saint, he delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. And Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. The prophet Amos said in Amos chapter 5, verse 15, hate the evil and love the good. That's good counsel, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are several other verses in the Bible about hating evil. But Amos says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. So life includes, remember, we're going back and forth here. We're going through the cycles of life. You know, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to build, a time to tear down, a time to sow, time to tear up, time to gather, time to cast away, time to keep, time to lose, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to celebrate, and a time to mourn. To mourn. Isn't that what life is, you know? And you'll see here in verse 10 or verse 9, it says, what profit as he that worketh that where he labored? So we know, if you've been studying with us about in the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher, the preacher, really the book of Ecclesiastes, well, it is. It's just one long sermon. It's about a man who attained everything through his wisdom, power, and wealth. He attained everything that he ever had. And in the end, he said, it's really not worth anything. It's all vanity. And so he uses this, you know, as the seasons of life. And, you know, I don't know if you picked up on it, but sometimes when you go through a season of life, I'm sure, like even right now with Lydia's family, a lot of them, you know, I know that she's been struggling with her health, and a lot of them are relieved, but I guarantee a lot of them are saying, you know, I really didn't plan for this. This is really a bummer, you know what I mean? You know, I don't really want to be in this season of life. Right. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. You know, and the problem is that we get stuck on that, and we don't embrace our trial, or we don't embrace the season that God gives us, because God says there is a season for everything. And that's where the rub is. That's where the problem is. You know, and life includes these things of love and hate. And then it says the next, in the same verse, there's a time of war and a time of peace. I mean, you know, our country used to always stand against those that violate freedom. You know, this is Memorial Day. We're the only country that I know of, and you can educate me at the end of the service if I'm wrong, that we have our soldiers buried on foreign soil. Their bodies are there because they gave their life for another country. Just look at France, look at Normandy, look at Germany, look at all over the world. There's foreign cemeteries of American soldiers, men and women, that have died protecting or trying to liberate another country. Just think of the latest wars that we've had in, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq. We still technically are occupying Afghanistan at this moment. But just think about it. Just think, you know, when our previous administration before President Trump pulled out of Iraq, I believe prematurely out of Mosul and them other areas, that servicemen, their blood soaked the sands of that area, and ISIS just came in and just, and you're thinking, man, what is going on? You might be like me, just say, you know, man, why? I don't want no more war. I hate it. Amen. I hate hearing reports of a roadside bombs and American soldiers being killed or maimed. I hate it. But really, war is always going to be with us because evil abounds. The Word of God says it. There's going to be a time of war. You know, Trotsky said at one time, he says, you might not be looking for war, but war is looking for you. It's just the way it's going to be. You know, we just have to remember it's always going to be with us. And we look through here after we get done with verse 8, we see here that these 14 things that we looked at and they were in all in contrast. It illustrates a collection of experiences that we have in our life. Everybody can relate with this list that I read, and I'll read it again. The opposites of the extreme. I'm sure that a lot of people in Lydia's family right now would rather be celebrating, embracing summer, amen? You know what? But it's a time of mourning.
Right.
Amen? I mean, I'm happy for her. You know what I mean? For a Christian, it's hard. You have these two emotions. You know, you're mourning, your heart's hurt because you'll never see your sister again this side of glory. But yet part of you says, yes, praise the Lord, amen. The struggle's over, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wherever they got her, whatever facility they have her body, she's not there, amen.
That's right.
She's with the Lord.
That's
comforting to know.
Yes.
Amen. You know, as I said last week, you know, I was walking in the hospital to see her, and as I'm walking in, I see a time to be born. I see this new family with a baby, and then I go up there and I see her, and knowing that the time is close, and
right.
Within 1 week of that time, that, you know. And again, I want to plant this thought with you today that we have to embrace every season of life. You know, we go through struggles. We go through struggles with our relationships in our lives. You know, family relationships, marital relationships. You know, I've never enjoyed any of the big struggles I've had in my marriage or my family. I've never enjoyed them. Really, I've never really looked back and said, man, this is exciting. I wish I could do this again. Amen. But if I really look into the Word of God, I realize that God allowed them things in my life
right.
to mold me and shape me.
Exactly.
Amen. To teach me. Amen. You know, and the problem is when we don't embrace it. You know, and when we gotta get out of this Zulu mentality that, well, it's just happened, man. You know what I mean? It's just karma, bro. No, it's not karma. We don't operate like that. Amen.
Right.
We operate by God's divine providence.
Amen.
Nothing ever happens to you that didn't first go through the hand of God.
That's right.
Amen. You don't believe that? Read the book of Job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not by, you know, our lives are not controlled by fate, nor do things happen by chance or coincidence. Life is controlled by the one who appoints the activities of our lives and alters their occurrence according to his plan and purpose.
Amen.
For our good and for his glory.
Amen.
You know, Marion and Kristen went to the youth rally. The pastor flaked out on them, amen. But they had, so it was Marion and six of her friends,
amen.
Praise the Lord,
good.
From two families, correct?
Yeah.
Right? I believe that that whole thing was orchestrated by God. Actually, I do believe me not being there was orchestrated by God also. I had a prior commitment I really couldn't get out of, but Kristen stepped up and says, you know what? I got this. Amen. And she hasn't chewed me out yet about it, so I'm thinking maybe, you know. Yeah, amen. She's a great volunteer. Amen. Appreciate you doing it. But Marion was there, and I believe it was It was God's will for that message, for RBOET to be preaching what he preached. I believe it was all God's working, amen? Because
right.
Some of them kids might not know the Lord. They might not be saved, amen? All the kids that went to the rally, you know, and that's the way we need to look at it. I mean, if we really do believe that God is omnipotent, right, or all-powerful, right, and we do believe that, we say that, but do we live it out? Do we believe he's omniscient, that he's all-knowing, that he's omnipresent, that he's with us all the time? Amen. I mean, things that we do, right? Because our lives sometimes our behaviors, by our actions, words, or deeds, they don't really show like Jesus is sitting there in the chair. Come on now. Am I the only one here? Amen. You know, do you hear what I'm saying? And if we can get into the realm, you know, this realm of Solomon says, listen, I've already tried everything. I already did everything. You're in the season of life. You got to realize that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad that this backslidden preacher got right with God.
Amen.
I really do. I mean, the end of the story is wonderful. Amen. But I'm glad also that he struggled intellectually with the problems of life. He thought about it, you know. You know, Romans says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by our mind. You know, we need to love God with our mind. Is that not what we are commanded? And in the commandments, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And Jesus repeated it.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we need to embrace these things. Why does these things happen? Amen. Why am I so mad? You know, you know, why do I want to strangle somebody, right? I mean, you know, Lord, I'm not behaving right. You know, you've allowed this to come into my life. Why can't I just realize that you're in control and that you're above everything?
Amen.
And you're part of every experience. I don't know about you, but this study's helped me. Amen. And, you know, and the verses that stand out the most to me in the New Testament is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestine to be conformed into the image of his son. You got to make that connection there, that God's purpose in his life, his divine will, is that everything that happened is for your good and for his glory. And because of the bad things happened is because he's trying to conform you into the image of his son.
Right. Yeah.
Stop bucking the process.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry. Bobby, stop it. Amen. Why? That we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he did predestine them. He also called to him. He called them also justified. And him he justified, he also glorified. So when we respond to God by faith and repentance, he justifies us.
Right.
That's what the book of Romans says in Romans chapter 5. Yeah, Romans chapter 5. Let me just read this to you here. Yeah, it says from Romans 8. It says in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And, you know, how many times have you heard this, that, you know, the word justifies just as if I've never sinned. Amen. That's what Calvary did for you and for me. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, rejoicing in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Listen to what Paul's saying. He says, we are happy and excited that we're going through this stuff. Amen. Well, at that time, they were being slaughtered for the name of Christ. Tribulation, right? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Remember, the word patience translated here is endurance. The reason why you go through tribulation is the Lord's trying to make you stronger.
Amen.
My son Jake ran a marathon this morning. Amen. He did very well in that marathon. But he would not have did very well in that marathon if he hadn't been training for really hard for the last 3 months. You know, I was going up to Janet's and I seen this kid running up Lancaster Hill. I said, oh, I know that. That's my son. I was talking to you on the phone. Amen. I said, hey, I'll call you back. I gotta, you know what I'm saying? But it was through all that sacrifice, all that training that he was able to place where he placed. And it's the same with the Christian experience. You come to know Christ, and the ultimate goal of Christ is that, or God, is that you be made in the image of Christ. So what does he do? He starts chipping away on the old person. Amen. And what happens is we say, yeah, hey, wait a second. Leave that chunk on for a while, right? He just keeps chipping away, trying to conform us into the image of Christ. And we don't like it sometimes. But he declares us to be righteous just as we've never sinned. So as we live the Christian life day by day, God says, I am going to work in you. Amen. And he gloriously shaped us into a perfect image. And then one day, it's all going to manifest. Amen. Just like Lydia this morning, right?
Amen.
One day we're going to stand before the Lord. Amen. And the marvelous work that Christ has done in our lives will be manifest. Let me share a few verses with you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, beloved, now, stop right there, amen? I like that. It says, beloved, now. Now. Not yesterday, not last month. Not last year. 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, now. Now what? Now we are what? The sons of God. Now, can you say that when you meet somebody, they say, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. Hello, I'm Bobby Stansfield. I'm a son of God. That happened to me one time. I was on the crybaby end, amen. It wasn't me saying that, but I was hunting on a mountain and above Lake Anderson in southern Idaho, deer hunting. It's up on this mountain, me and my friend Troy, and we ran across two hunters, and they were teenage boys, and we started talking to them, and that one boy told me, as we introduced ourselves, he said, I'm a blood-bought son of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, glory to God, amen. And I was a preacher, man. I was, you know. Hallelujah, brother. Hey, can you come preach for me? Amen. But listen to what 1 John says in the gospel of 1 John. He says he came into his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Beloved, now are the sons of God.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 says, "For our conversation," that means citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." We are his, amen? So when things happen and when we don't like the chipping away, we need to stop for a moment and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you allowed this into my life, because I know that you're making me a better Christian." Amen. That through this trial and this tribulation, that I'm going to gain endurance, I'm going to gain strength, and I'm going to be a stronger believer tomorrow. Amen. You'll be able to use me. And I really do believe the problem comes with us is that when things happen, a season comes in our life, we say, "No, this should not have happened." Amen. I'm sure if you were to ask the Mendozas, Christie's birthday, how many years ago? 3 years ago, that they would have not said, "Well, this would be a good day for our house to burn down." If they were given the option, they would have opted out of that. And I wouldn't blame them one bit. Amen.
At least it wasn't my 50th birthday. That would have been
harder. That would have been harder. Amen. But did God use it? Yes, after you embraced it. Amen.
Yep.
God used it. You think of Doug and Laura Lee, you know, the loss of their son, 18 years old, tragically torn from their life into eternity. But I'm telling you what, Doug and Laura Lee can minister to a couple that has lost a child. There's no way that Tina and I could ever identify with them.
Amen.
Has God used it? Yes. But it's endurance, it's patience, it's chipping, it's allowing God to do it.
Amen.
I ended last week with Joseph, and actually a friend of mine was watching online. He goes, "Man, you should have finished your thought on that." And I said, "Man, I was losing them, man. I was already over. They were gone. Amen." So I got a few minutes to finish it today. Amen. So I'm going to do just a little short recap on that. We'll finish the thought. Amen. And the thought was this, that God accomplishes his plans for us even when others oppose and do evil against us. When Joseph reached the end of his life, he was able to see how God had worked good from the evil that his brothers had done to him years before. Notice what he said after God's plan had evolved. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you," addressing his brother, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, and it is this day to save much people alive." Actually, not only saved two nations, Joseph, through his trials, saved two nations, Egypt and Israel, but he saved the world. So getting back to that, and I shared a little bit last week about the word "meant," as you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. The "meant" was intended. In the above verse, it was the word, the Hebrew word kashab, which means to plait or to weave. The word is used of braiding hair or weaving different threads together to make a fabric. God takes all the events of our lives and weaves them together to make a beautiful tapestry of his design. The negative experiences of our lives, the difficult and often heartbreaking times, are a part of that design. God loves us so much that he even takes the evil that ungodly people do and works the evil out for good. If we really believe what Romans 8:20 says, it says, we know that all things. And we know as we grow older and become more mature in Christ, we're able to see more clearly the extraordinary work of God in our lives. We begin to see the glorious things he fashions from our heartaches and our heartbreaks. In such times, we are stirred to praise the Lord and worship him for his amazing plan and power. As I was asking my wife to help me with my sermon yesterday, we were trying to find a cross stitch or a needle point. Anyone familiar with that? Or they're like a, have you guys, if you know anything about them, when they're beautiful, the way they're made. But have you ever seen the backside of one that's not trimmed? It is a what? What'd you say?
Mess.
It is a tangled mess. And I have one that has 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. But when that thing was made from another preacher's a wife made it for me, if you were to turn that thing over when it was made, if she would have presented that thing to me all tangled up, right? It would look like a tangled mess, amen? And I'm afraid sometimes that that's the way we look at our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trials that we go through, there, it's a tangled mess. But we've got to stop and flip it over, amen?
Yes.
And see the beautiful, she made a little nice flower with a cocoon on it, and out of the cocoon came a beautiful butterfly. Amen? So out of the mess, God makes something wonderful. Amen. And we have to embrace it. And we have to embrace every single thing in our lives.
Amen.
If we don't, what we're telling God is, I know better than you, Lord. And we can't do that. Amen. Or we tell God, I'm not ready for this. But yet he's allowed it into our lives. And he just wants us to embrace it. Thursday, I worked with a man. He's older than me. And he's a drywall finisher. He's really in a bad state. And he needed my help to finish. I did the upstairs of his house in 2015. He calls me. He goes, I really need you to help me finish this. And I said, man, I'm retired. Amen. From drywall. So we worked together for 9 hours, two old drywallers, man. You see that? I remember Brother Steve, I used to always say that. Look at that old taper, amen. Now I'm calling myself that, right? We worked hard, you know what I mean? And we were crying and moaning and all that. But he was on the phone when I got there. And he goes, I'll be with you. I'm on a very sensitive call, you know. And I didn't know what was going on. You know, I thought I knew about him, you know. And then, you know, so we're working away. And after about 45 minutes, he got done and he told me. And he says, hey, I'll tell you what that call. He goes, that was my doctor. And I said, oh, boy, isn't that fun? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes, at least once or twice a week, I'm on hold for like 30 to 45 minutes.
Wow.
You know, typical doctor's office. Hey, I'll call you back, amen, or I'll put you on hold. I said, well, what's going on, Dave? He goes, well, I have prostate cancer. And I did, man, my heart just sank because, you know, the history with my brother, you know, he's already had his surgery and everything. And I said, man, I'm sorry, Dave. And you know what? In a flash, he came back and he said, it's all in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. I'm thinking, mercy. Mercy, because I got, you know, family and, you know, all that. And I'm thinking, man, would I be able to say that, Brother Steve? You know, it's all in God's hands. Amen. What a testimony. That's how Joseph was. Amen. It's all right. The life he lived. God weaved it and was working it. God meant, amen,
yeah.
All these trials. And what Joseph was talking about is being betrayed by his brothers, being thrown in a pit, being sold to a Potiphar and being falsely accused, being imprisoned and being left and forgotten. But yet God raised him up out of that.
Mm-hmm.
God meant it for good.
Amen.
To save much people alive. Mercy, that's what we need, folks. Amen. And the preacher here is saying in Ecclesiastes, there are seasons of life. They're going to happen. Amen. And what we need to do is we need to embrace them. Amen. Because the last verse that he said was, the last verse I read was chapter 3, verse 11. Let me read it again. He says, "For he hath made everything beautiful in his time." Man, can we say that about our trials? Man, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. "Also, he hath set the world in their hearts." Amen. I just want to whet your appetite for maybe the next message. The word world is better translated eternity. And when I seen that, and you've heard me say it, that God always gives every person a God-shaped void in their life that only he can fill. Amen. And God has given man a desire for eternity, and the need is never filled until Jesus Christ fills that void. Therefore, he cannot be satisfied with everything. Jesus said, what is a man that if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Yeah. He wants to fill that void, amen? So hopefully with your prayer and help, we'll try to put together a message on that, amen, on that verse. Now, Father, we thank you so much for your people and for this time together as believers. And Lord, and Lord, we thank you this morning for the trials that we go through, for the tribulation, and Lord, help us to embrace the time that we have here on this earth, and whatever you allow to happen to us, to use it for our good and for your glory. But Lord, we do need to pause just for one moment. If there's someone here that's never set eternity in their hearts, they never allowed you to fill that space, Lord, in their soul that no one else can. Lord, they never trusted you. They've never been born again. They never turned their life over to you, Lord Jesus. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, for those of us that have did that and we have struggles and we're going through this life, I pray, Lord, that you would, when you send trials and tribulations our way, that we look at it as you're building us. You're chipping away the old person and you're building upon the new. And help us, Lord, to embrace the trials that we go through, and help us, Lord, to be the Christians you want us to be. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray and ask you to bless this invitation. And amen.